overwhelmed with emotions right now. I was just planning on having a regular Zoom here. Me and Rip Weinberger speak 10 minutes each and let you guys go home and learn. As of Friday morning, Yaakov had other plans. And he created this beautiful Siyum. I wasn't going to have music. And he insisted that Yeshaya play and Shlemi sing along with him at the end. And he suggested we have some friends speak. Usually I have a rabbi friend speak. I wasn't planning anything big this year. So he recommended I reach out to some close friends. And Mikey and Adam were natural choices. And so much gratitude I have towards the entire Kehillah, the Hanhala, Suriel, Jay, Ken, and everyone else who participates, but a special Hakarsatov to Yaakov. You know, he and I speak daily, several times. I mentioned before I speak to him probably more than my own wife. If I'm on the phone, my wife knows it's probably Yaakov on the phone. So there's so much to say about everyone. I don't have the time, but just to address Mikey and Adam, two anecdotes on their beautiful drushes. You know, Mikey didn't point out one story that we were in camp that summer, Morasha, and there's a guy, I think Daniel Jerome maybe, he said, you know, the two of you look very familiar. So we've never met before. He said, I once saw this past year a ESPN documentary on how fans treat the players. And I saw you guys on that. We tried finding that. He couldn't have made it up. So it's somewhere out there. If you see it, I don't have the beard. I have a full head of hair. I'm still looking for it. But we had a nice conversation with Ken Griffey Jr. and Randy Johnson that game. He shared some other choice words with us as well. And the first time I met Adam, I think it was the first time we met. We were walking to QBR Gardens Hill, and he walked over to me and he says, you're an X-ray, right? I said, yes, and we traded some notes, and we traded jobs. And those two, the reason why I chose Mikey and Adam, not because, only because I'm such good friends with both of them, and certainly Mikey, and, you know, I need to address Josh and Jay and Hedy, who've, you know, raised me along with my parents. My father's here. I spent so much time in their house growing up, and the love and care that they gave me. But Mikey and Adam both represent individuals who I think we're trying to build here in the shul, in the Kehillah, of individuals who know how to balance between work and family and learning, taking Torah and your Shemaim seriously. And Mikey is on his own journey of finishing Shas as well, and in between his job, he has covered a number of Masechtas. I'm not keeping list he is, but he's going to finish up soon as well, his Siyum, in addition to the multitude of Shiurim that he attends. And Adam, until recently, he was with the Daf Yomi from the beginning. You know, I should mention Ricky as well. Ricky was my, you know, entry into the shul with the Daf Yomi 7.5 years ago, and in 30 days from today, we're going to be completing the cycle together with the completion of Erevin. So Adam was with us from the beginning until recently, and he was the natural replacement. If I wasn't there, or the few occasions I just didn't wake up, Adam was there to fill in, whether prepared or not prepared. So those two are stellar examples of what we're trying to build, of people who are content with where they are in life, and able to balance between life, raising a family, and learning. You know, this year is a special Siyum because we're combining it with the Siyum that the shul is making collectively. Now, I should mention before I go ahead, I need to thank Rabbi Dinowitz. Rabbi Dinowitz is still here. I know he had to run out earlier, but Rabbi Dinowitz, there's some svarim out there that he had put together from some of the write-ups I've been working on, and all the sponsors I need to thank. This was another project of Yaakov as well that he dealt with today. He was busy putting stickers on the front cover of everything. So thank you to Radinitz, wherever he is, for all the effort he put in to put the Sefer together. But what makes this seem so special is because I'm doing it together with around 30 or 40 of you. Because as a tzibur, every year we've been finishing Shas, 30 guys picking Mesechdas and plowing through to make a siyum l'chavad v'yesh kodesh. You know, people tell me they get inspired by the siyum. That's my only intention. I was almost excited that, you know, Corona, we wouldn't have to have a siyum. I could do it with me and my family and that's it. And then Baruch Hashem, we opened up, but that meant I need to do this again. With my only intention that people get inspired. And people said they are inspired, but I don't know if they really are inspired. You know, one person told me that they were inspired by Rebbe's drasha the other day about everyone has to come to the Beis Medrash and he has to come learn here. And the guy told me that Shabbos that he plans to come learn every single time he has, and I've yet to see that person come to the Beis Medrash. So people say that they're inspired, but there's one person I know that's here that actually got inspired, and that's Alex Shulman. Alex Shulman, I think the first siyum that he attended a few years ago of mine, from that point he took upon himself to make a siyum on Seder Mishnayos for the next few years, and he's done that. And the goal is not to just be inspired yourself, but to inspire others. So Alex, not only has he been inspired, but he is the force behind this collective siyum in the shul. He's the one making sure people sign up. He's the one making sure everyone's finishing to make this annual siyum with the Yesh Kodesh. So big mazel tov to all those participants, and I encourage those who didn't learn this past year to take upon a masech, to take upon a parach, to join together with the kehila to make a siyum shas l'chavad yard side of the Yesh Kodesh. But this siyum this year combined with the Yesh Kodesh really highlights a strong connection that I have with this great tzaddik, the Yesh Kodesh. You know, Mikey referred to before our first time in Noda Road. We're sitting in the back there. You know, Mr. Weichelt had schlepped us to this Friday night minyan. It was a little bit longer than we're used to. Singing and dancing. No offense to Rebbe, but we've never seen a chassid before. I've never saw a shaymo before growing up in Tinek. Didn't hear much about chassidim. That was our first exposure. But little did I know that I'd be working in this place. And now I get to share in the siyum for the Yesh Kodesh. And my birthday is 2 days after the Yortzeit of the Yesh Kodesh. So many things are so interrelated with this great tzaddik. So it seems destined that I be in such a place, such a Kila Kadosha like Yesh Kodesh. How I ended up here is a complete mystery, but incredible Hashkacha Pratis along the way. But it's all thank you to Marina Rabbeinu Weinberger. Now is not the time to go into all the details of how this happened. But not a day goes by where I don't say thank you Ribbono Shel Olam for this great opportunity to be in this great kehila. Now I would like to, you know, send a daily voice note to Rav Weinberger thanking him. I don't think he would appreciate that. He would, but he wouldn't. He's busy enough to hear my daily thank yous. But I do on occasion, I hope I express my karsa tov for allowing me to join in this incredible journey in helping build this kehila, this Beis Medrash, this community. For trusting me, for believing in me. You know, I tell people I work for Rav Weinberger, but he makes me feel like I work with Rav Weinberger. And I work for him. But with the incredible humility and the anivus, he makes me feel like I'm a partner. I don't know how, I don't know why. Never has he asked me to do anything I'm uncomfortable doing, never anything that's belittling to me, that's disparaging beneath me. And I imagine not every senior rabbi, assistant rabbi, has that type of relationship. But I'm so indebted to having such a wonderful relationship. So it's really a great honor to call upon Rebbe Moreno Rabbeinu of Weinberger.
It's really not such a great mystery why. I know Rabbi Levin said that he doesn't know why. It was a mystery how this came about. It's really not much of a mystery. It's very simple. I figured that if the so-called assistant rabbi, the Skanarov, they say that he finishes Shas every year, then the oil must be thinking, who knows what the Rav does every year. It's very, very simple. So the Cheshbon is very plain. I know it's hard for the oil without the cold cuts and the other stuff that we usually have. And Mitzvah Shem will get back to the regular program, but this is so beautiful. Everything was timed. Everything is Hashgacha Pratis, that we could be here for this. And in this way, there's a certain mesikus to what we have every year, but there's a certain nobility and beauty to what we're experiencing this year, having it in such a way. And every year, Rabbi Levin asks me, please, not to speak about him. And every year, by the Siyam, I'm focused on a different aspect of this remarkable person, my friend, and your friend, Rabbi Yoni, Rabbi Levin. But this year I decided, you know, we're doing it together with the Siyam Hashas of the Shul. And Baruch Hashem also, many of you are being mishtatev in Siyam Hashas. This is my father, Allah Hashem, that's going to be Tu B'Shvat. So a lot of Torah that's being learned. And I know that more than anything, Rabbi Levin has always wanted me to, and tonight I'll take him up on that. Really, it's to encourage what's happening with the learning of the Chevra in light of the accomplishments that Mikey and Adam were talking about. And by the way, Mikey, you spoke so beautifully. And Adam, real friends, with an understanding of who your friend is, and it is very, very, I find it to be very, very moving. So let's talk for a moment about the actual Siyam, what that means for the Chevra. And I also want to thank Alex for always working so hard to put things together. Shas ends in an interesting way. Kol Hashana Halachis B'chol Yoyim Muftach Lo Yishu B'nol Mahabish Namar Pasik in Chavakuk Halichais Oilem Lo Atikr Halichais Ela Halachais. That's the Siyam. A person who learns halacha every day, Torah Shebaal Peh every day, is muftach loy, it's guaranteed he's promised to be ben olam haba. Shenamar, it says, halichais olam loy. The Navi says, the ways of the world are Hashem. Halichais olam loy. The ways of the world are all Hashem's. Al tikri halichais ela halachas. So, you know, whenever you have one of these al-tikri, ella, the sfarim go wild. Because obviously there must be a very deep connection. You can't just make something like that up. Al-tikri, halichos, ella, halachos. It says, the pasuk says halichos, the ways of Hashem. Al-tikri, halichos, ella, halachos. And why is it that Shas ends with this pasuk and this limud? So there's another Gemara. There's a Torah that's brought down the Atzah Chaim from the Sigdei Rav Zchus Yohani from the Zatmar Rebbe's brother. That's Chaim rings down the Gemara in Eruvin that you all know. But the Gemara says that 2.5 years, Nechlo Kavei Shayim Bezillo, there's a machlokes going on between Beisham Bezillo, Noruch Loi La'adam Shenivra Mishloi Nivra, Noruch Loi La'adam Shloi Nivra Mishenivra. Would it have been easier for man not to have existed, not to have been created? Noach lo alonu. It's often misquoted as Tov lo. It doesn't say Tov. It says Noach lo alonu. Would it have been Noach easier? Nimnu v'gamru. So the Gemara says that account was taken. Ostensibly it means among the Chachamim. But the Maharsho and the Maral have a lot to say about this. Nimnu v'gamru. Noach lo alonu. Shloi nivu mishinivra. Count was taken. Noach lo yiladim shloi nivra mishenivra. It would have been easier for him not to have been created, not to have been created. Ba'achshu shenivra, yifashu shemaisa, yimashmei shemaisa. But now that man was created, he should be careful to examine his ways. so that's a chayim. That's a chayim asks, as many other tzaddikim asked. The Baruch Shalom loves each and every Jew. The Baruch Shalom loves each and every human being. So if it's na'ach lo'il adam sh'loi nivashem nivra, if it would have been easier for man not to have been created. And the whole tachlis of Hashem is toiv. Hashem is so good. He's the essence of good. We don't even understand. And all he wants, kivyochel, is to give us the ability to enjoy. So then if it's na'ach lo'il adam sh'loi nivashem nivra, so why did he create man? So that's the Chaim brings another Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Pei Tes. Well, there's an interesting cheshbon that's taken. Again, I'm talking about familiar Gemaras. Upstairs, you know these Gemaras also. You've heard Rabbi Levin, you heard your father and your husband all the time learning. You've caught on over the years. The Gemara says, the loss of love on the future, Hashem is going to come to Avraham Avinu and say, Banecha Chatu, your children have sinned. And what do you have to say in their defense? And Avraham Avinu's comments were not particularly pleasing to Hashem. Yaakov Avinu was asked. Hashem said, not the grandfather, not the grandson. But then Yitzchak Avinu was asked. And you remember what happened. First of all, Yitzchak Avinu says, the last one we expected was going to be Mlamed Zchus. Yitzchak is Gvur, is Din. Yitzchak says, Kaidim Kol, Banai, my children have sinned. Veloy Banecha, they're not your children. That's the first thing. What do you mean, my children? They're your children. Rabban Shalom, they're your children, just like they're my children. They're your children. And then you remember what happens? Yitzchak goes on, he makes a cheshbon. Yitzchak Avinu is also a little bit of an actuary. And he made a cheshbon. And the cheshbon was, take away the first 20 years, since in Bezman Shamal they don't punish for the first 20 years. So you left Shivim Shonim, Shonim Shonim, 70 years of a person's life. So right away, Yitzchak makes, you take 20 away, 50, and then he makes a cheshbon between the sleeping and the eating and everything else, and Panos and Derech Hatz, all the other things in life. 25, Yitzchak Avinu makes a deal, I'll divide with you, Paglai, Paralai, we'll split it in half to take responsibility. They're your children, they're my children. So the Yitzchak Chaim says it comes out altogether. 12.5 years. 12.5 years. The whole tachlis of a person's life. After we take away all the work and the sleeping and the eating and everything else. And in those years they didn't count in, you know, gym and working out and all the other stuff. 12.5 years. So that's Chaim says the question is, for 12.5 years of avoda, of learning, of davening, of mitzvahs, and the risk of failing with so many averas, why was this undertaking kedai? So nimnu v'gomnu, account was made, and the maskana is noach leiladim shaloi nivra mishenivra. It would have been easier for man not to have been created than for these 12.5 years that hopefully he'll squeeze out something that's good from these 12.5 years. What nachas ruach does the Baruch Shalom have from all of that? What's the tachlis? So that's a chayim bring is another Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara in Brachas says there's a parasha ketana. There's a small parasha. The roi of gufei tarei tluyim pa. But the whole Yiddishkeit depends on this one pasuk in Mishlei. Shlomo Melech says in Mishlei, "B'chol drachecha de'eyu, v'hu yasher archasecha b'chol drachecha de'eyu." Know Hashem in all of your ways. Halicha is olam lai. Know Hashem in all of your ways. All of the ways of the world are Hashem's. And that's what Chaim says. Knowing Hashem in all of your ways means that if a Jew is zoicha, every moment of his life, even when he's working, even if he makes the switch, the chiluf that Adam and Rabbi Yoni made, every single moment of work, Every single moment with the kids. Every single moment, even on the tennis court, on the basketball court. Every single moment in the gym. Every single moment of sleeping, of resting. If a person is worthy, every single moment of that cheshbon that was removed from the cheshbon of Nimnu v'Garmu, taking an accounting of man's life, of a mother's life, for every single second begging the child to get ready for school. Every second of doing homework, every second of parents who are up late at night worrying about that child who already is at this point 30 years old and 40 years old. And what's going to be? Every second is so kedai. Every second is shining with the greatest light of Torah and mitzvahs. But how does that all happen? How do you make that system work? So the Yatzeh Chaim says there's only one way. Chaver, listen to this. Taisavis and Shabbos, since the Gemara is in Kedushin, and it's Yerushalmi and Sanhedrin, in many, many places, Chazal tell us, that when a person is 120 and leaves this world, there are certain questions that were asked. Nasata v'nasata be'emuna, did you deal honestly with people at work? Were you a faithful employee, employer? Were you honest at work? Kavati itim l'tayra. Did you set aside time for learning Torah? Kavati itim l'tayra. So the Yatzeh Chaim says the following, listen carefully. He said, really, they're not two questions. Because if your life is a life where Talmud Torah, where learning Torah is the centerpiece of your life. And by the way, Adam was putting himself down. Every single second of his day is thinking about Torah. While he's doing his job and working, he's always thinking and learning, always thinking about how to grow in Torah, as all of you are. And the learning that you're doing is bearing testimony to that reality. Kavati itim l'Torah, those words. Kvias itim. So you can make an interesting case. There's a chakira one could make. When you look in the Rambam in the first paragraph of Hilchos Tamei Torah Halacha Ches, where the Rambam tells us the halacha of kvias itim. He says, ben oni Yisrael, a poor person, a rich person, a working person, someone who's not working, everybody has to be kvias itim l'Torah to set aside time for learning. Shneamar, it says in Pasuk in Yeshua, v'gisa v'yom v'layla. V'gisa v'yom v'layla. In the Rambam, the simple pshat is that this din of kviyas itim, of every Jew setting aside time in his day of learning, and the Rambam, it sounds like it's a halachi in Hilchos Tamei Torah. It's just a regular din in Hilchos Tamei Torah. It's part of the overall requirement to learn whenever you can learn. So if you have some time in the morning, you have some time at night, that's usually the best time before work or after work. But when you look in the language of the Shulchan Aruch, when you look in your Yerideya, I mean, look in the Rav Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Tamei Torah and in Aruch Chaim Kuf Nun Hei, I mean, look in the Aruch HaShulchan Kuf Nun Hei. The Pasha says that there are two dinim. There's a regular halacha of Limud HaTorah, which we learned from Vagisa V'yom V'layla, and then there's a special din of Kviyas Itim L'Torah, which we're not going to go into, it's already late, of exactly what's the makor of this halacha of Kavati Itim L'Torah, that big question that you or I are going to all be asked when we leave this world. Kavati Itim L'Torah, did you set aside time for learning? There could be a number of nafkuminis. One would be with the din of Isaac Mitzvah, Potamana Mitzvah, whether that's a halacha when it comes to Talmud Torah, for something, for a mitzvah that you could only do yourself, or it could be done al yidei acherim, whether there's a chilik when it comes to kviyas itim l'Torah. In other words, if you're a person that is kvei itim l'Torah, it means the following. It means that if you have set aside time for learning, it's not a regular halacha in Hilchos Talmud Torah. Setting aside time of your day, when you put aside time every day for learning, and l'chadchila should be the same time if possible, if not, not. That reveals, by doing that, even if it's a half hour, even if it's 15 minutes, or an hour, or 2 hours, whatever that is. But that reveals, that kviyas itim reveals, that you are machshiv Torah, and you're machshiv in such a way that everything else in your life revolves around those sweetest, sweetest moments of the day when you're able to give a cracks and say, ah, Rabbi Shalom, and you're able to open up the Gemara, the Mishnayos, the Sefer, the Chumash, whatever it is, the Navi, and you're able to kiss the Sefer and say, Rabbi Shalom, you know that this is all I want in life, and that's all I dream for my children, that they should have that sweetness of living Torah. That's what it means to be kaveihit in the Torah. It's a different din. It's not just a regular halach and halach stam Torah. There's a din of kviyas itim. When you kaveya a time, when you say that no matter what, I have this time that I learn, and nothing's going to get in the way of that learning. That's the hasmod of my friend and colleague, Rabbi Levin. There's no other way that one can go through Shas. There's no other way that one can go through Mishnayos. There's no other way that a person can learn the parasha of Rashi. So when Shas ends with the words, Halichais Olam Lai, Al Tikri Halachais Ella Halichais, Halichais Halachais, it means the ways of the world are Hashem's. That even the ways of the world working, children, take care of the kids, eating, sleeping, exercise, all the halichos olam, all the ways of the world. How do we know in your life and in my life that halichos olam lai, that the ways of the world belong to Hashem? By halachos, al tikri halichos ella halachos. If you're kavei itim l'tayra, if you set aside time every day to learn, and you make that time of the day, as the Kuzri calls the tree, the pears, the fruit, the most important time of the day. Yeah, you have to take care of all the emails, and you have to take care of the client and the customers, and you have to take care of everything in life. But the tachlis of everything comes back to Kriyas Itim L'Torah. And when that's the way that you live, and in that way, Mikey and Adam and all of you and myself, even though we might not accomplish as much as what Rabbi Levin is accomplishing, and it's a great, amazing, monumental accomplishment for those who are finishing their mesechtas. And I remember, I never learned in Sheyoshev, but I was very close to Rabbi Shlomo Freifeld, and I remember once being in the yeshiva when there was a Baal Tshuva, and Rabbi Freifeld called the guys together, and he had people, he liked cold cuts and stuff, and he sent the guys out to bring some good food, and he made it seem that there was a Baal Tshuva, and the Baal Tshuva finished for the first time in his life. He finished a half an amud of the Gemara, and Rabbi Freifeld said, we're making a party, and the guys came, and they were singing and eating and dancing for a little piece of the Gemara that this Baal Tshuva made. A siyum. It's not the amount. It's the chashivas. It's the importance that you attribute to that. And that is accomplished by being kavei itim l'tayra. I'm just going to remind you of a story, and I'm sorry, I always end up being the one who speaks the longest, and I apologize. I guess I'm the one who's most comfortable in this place, and I apologize. But I'm just going to remind you of this story that I've told a number of times over the years, that the Rebbe Maharash from Lubavitch Chusik Eleinu, two of his sons were playing Abzalman Aaron, the Razavi called him, Abzalman Aaron, and the future Rebbe, the Rebbe Ashav of Shalom Dovber, they were playing. And even as children, they were not regular children. And they're talking about deep things. In the middle of their game, they stopped and they were talking. And they were arguing over the importance or lack of importance of Balabata, of people like you. Balabata. We don't know which kid said what. Kid. They're not regular children. But the argument was that a balabas, when he's learning, he's on a certain madrega, he's learning Torah, but when he's not learning, so he's like anybody else in the world. The other child said, no, a yid is a different barrier, something different. And they were arguing about it, and the sister, there was a sister that was listening to this. The sister went to tell the father that the boys were arguing over this, and the Rebbe Maharash called the boys over. I'm sure by now it's sounding familiar to many of you. And the Rebbe Maharash said to the boys, I want you to go and get Ivan, who worked in the stable. Go and bring Ivan over here. I want to ask him something. And the boys went and they brought Ivan over. And Ivan said, Rebbe, is there something that you need me for? And Rebbe said, Ivan, I just want to ask you something. He said, Ivan, why do you work here? He says, Rebbe, I work here so I could earn a living. And why do you need to earn a living? He says, I earn a living so this way I'm able to eat and to have what to eat, a place to sleep and to go and buy things and be with my friends and go out for parties and so on. That's why. And Ivan, you use this money for eating. Why do you need to eat and to sleep? So Ivan says, Rebbe, I need to eat so that I could live. And Ivan, why do you need to live? He said, I need to live so I could be able to. I need to live so I could be able to be with my friends and have a good time and to enjoy. He says, oh, good. Okay, thank you, Ivan. He gave him a couple of rubles. Fine. And then he told the boys, now go bring Yankele, who worked in the kitchen. And the Rebbe asked them the same set of questions, right? All the questions. And all the answers were the same. About why he does this and why he does that and why he works. And then finally he came to the last question. The Rebbe says, and tell me, Yankele, why do you need to live? After he said, I eat so that I can live. So, Yankele, why do you need to live? And at that point, Yankele was quiet and a tear fell from his eye. And Yankele looked up and he says, Rebbe, I need to live so I can serve Hashem as a promise, so I could be a Yid, so I could daven and to learn. So the Rebbe said, Shkoyach, Yankele. And Yankele left, and then the Rebbe said to his sons, every single moment of a Jew's life, that's who he is. Whether he's learning or whether he's at work, every moment of his life is only for that tear that fell from Yankel's eye. Every moment of his life is for that tear. And he turned to the son that didn't know that and said, you just didn't follow through to the final question. Your brother did. What this night is about, this annual celebration, of course, for our dear friend and Rebbe's accomplishments, to give nachas to this beautiful family, the Levins, the Schwartzes, Randy and the kids, who are the most fantastic people in the world, to give them that nachas ruach, it's all kedai to sit here, just for that. But I think Rabbi Levin and I, we agree on pretty much everything. Every now and then there's a tiny disagreement about like scheduling, because I don't like schedules, and he does. But otherwise we agree on everything. But I think here we agree 1,000% that we want this to be the most inspiring and exciting thing for the Chevra to feel, the significance of your lives as Jews who are koveya itim, who set aside time, not as something which is an added thing in life, but it's that life itself, it's that tier of why we live. And this night is to remember why we live. And why we live in honor of the Tzaddik Deish Kray, the Schus when Hashem should avenge his blood. Like of Shlomo Kalbach in one of his famous songs and stories, to finish those Gemaras, those Masechtas, that the Rebbe and those Jews of that generation weren't able to continue finishing. And we're continuing with that for our learning. And to give the Rebbe Nachas, and to give the Borei Olam Nachas Ruach, which is the Tachlis of our lives. So, Hashem should help us to be Shibzoichim et Hashem, to be Kavei Itim and Anubis Medrash, to sanctify this place of learning. It already has so much davening. This room is saturated with tefillos and with learning. You know, but the learning was in between aliyahs and here and there, happening on a Shavuos night. But now, every inch of this beautiful Bezan Medrash is going to be dripping, oozing with divetaya, with learning. It should be a good health. All of us in good health. And it should be soon as Hashem says to us, okay, Chavi, you got the tables, you got the chairs, take the rest of the furniture and get out of here and go back to your shrine with the blessed of Amitis. Amen. Mazel tov.
Just a couple more thank yous before I conclude. I want to thank Yaakov Schmuckler for everything he does for the shul, but tonight, of course, he was behind all the videos, the music, the sound, and to Shloime Kaufman for singing. In a moment, we'll be singing Mitzvah Hashem. And I don't usually thank my wife and kids in public because I cry, but I've been crying the whole night. So thank my wife and kids, my parents and my in-laws for everything that they do to help encourage and support me. So each year I try to discuss Chazal. I have a number of mashalim, what it compares Torah to. And each year I like to pick a different mashal, spoken about the comparison to Dvash and Chalav and Mayim and Rina. And this year I wanted to discuss something that was mentioned in the Gemara in Erevin that we saw recently in Daf Yomi. The Gemara tells us in Daf Nun Dalet, quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, Notzer te'ena yochal period. And the Gemara says that this is a reference to Torah. The Torah is compared to a fig, to a te'ena. So lama nimshalu divrei Torah kite'ena. In what way is Torah similar to a fig? And so the Gemara says, ma te'ena zu kol zman she'adam mimash mejba moti ba te'enim. Apparently the way a fig tree works is that any time throughout the season you could find figs. They don't all grow at the same time and ripen at the same time. At different weeks and months, you can always find more figs. And so too, after Torah, kol zman she'adam hoge behen motzi behem tam. A person learns, no matter where in Shas, when during the day, you're always going to find sweetness, taste in the Torah that we learn. So I want to add a different approach, not my own, but a different approach based on a medrash in this week's parasha, in Parashat Lech Lecha. Mike, you said this is 27 years since my bar mitzvah parasha, which makes me 40 for those who are counting, those actuaries, Adam. So the medrash tells us that Avraham Avinu was also compared to a te'ena. The pasuk, Chasam Sofer quotes the medrash. Says that Avram was tamim, he was pure, he was complete. And the Medrash Rabbah says, Mashal te'ena, shemasirin kotze v'hi tamim. That it's similar to a fig where you remove the kotze, you remove the stem, and it's pure. And it's a reference to the removal of the arla, the brismila of Avram Avinu. So what's the depth of the comparison to Avram to Te'ena and Torah to Te'ena? So as we know that there are a number of different explanations what the Eitz HaDa'as was. And perhaps the simplest explanation is what the Pesukim seem to indicate, that when Adam and Chava realized that they were not dressed, Ve'yedu ke'rumim heim, Ve'yisperu alei Se'ena, they covered themselves in the leaves from a fig tree. And Rashi explains that the Eitz from which they ate, that's what they use. B'davar shiniskalkul abon niskanu. That which they use, that which they brought about the destruction and death to the world. That's what they use to cover them, to protect themselves. And so long as we don't have a Mashiach, so long as we're still struggling with the chayt of Adam and Chava, so we're trying to fix, we're trying to rectify that first chayt. That's been the breakdown of mankind. So somehow the te'ena that they ate, there's going to be a certain tikkun. A certain tikkun that's hidden within the te'ena. So what is that? What's the secret of the fig? What's the secret of the te'ena? So the Chasam Sofer tells us on that medrash, he says, he's written in other places this concept, Pirashi b'makom acher, ki ein pri, there's no fruit, like the te'ina. Ein pri shi kula ochel. There's no fruit that's all food. Bli klipa, bli pitum, bli giron, without the seeds, without the pits, without the stems, without the coverings, without the peel. Kama te'ina. There's nothing as pure, as edible, as the te'ina. The te'ina, writes Chassam Sofer, ein bo psolos ki machlokes. You take out that stem, and the rest is history. Kishim asirin ha'okets, when you remove that stem, harehu tamu. It's complete. So too with Avraham Avinu, he was kula kadosh. He was kula puri, kula te'ena. Bar meha arla. Once you remove the arla, the fanai v'ayet tamu. He was pure, he was complete. I think you can make that same extension to Torah as well. What's blocking us all from coming inside the base medrash to learn is the okets. The okets, which could also be a sting, a thorn, the sharpness of the nachash, the sharpness of the yetzahara. And we all have those hurdles we need to overcome. What's holding us back from waking up in the morning? It might be the alarm. It might be that it's so dark out, even at 6:30 in the morning. It might be that it's getting cold, that it's raining. And why are we not coming out at night? Because, you know, we're tired. We had a long day of work. Because we have responsibilities with the family. Because we're busy watching the Dodgers and, help me out here, Tampa Bay. Busy watching the debates and who's going to win the elections. Whatever is occupying our time at night, we have different hurdles. That's the okets. That's the thorn. That's the nachash that we have to overcome. But the moment you're able to pluck that away, the moment you can hone in on to what is that hurdle, then it's kula pri, it's kula Torah, it's kula te'ena. It's completely tamim. You know, as Yaakov mentioned, as Rwamir mentioned, that we've been working on this base medrash, you know, the tables and chairs took some time, and now we have a beautiful base Knesset that now is also going to serve as a base medrash. And a number of us have been working hard on trying to accommodate people with chavrusas, with chaburas, with shirum, with opening up the base medrash for opportunities to just overcome that initial hurdle. To just pluck out that okets, and that's kul te'ena. This is the safe haven. That's not to say we should do away with our families and responsibilities. Of course, there's a balance, as both Mike and Adam portray. But to get in the base medrash, to take advantage, because this is the te'ena, this is Gan Eden. This is the Gan Eden. Once you remove the nachash, you move the okets, it's all inside the base medrash. So while Avraham Avinu was trying to fix and be mesaken the cheder of the Eitz Hadas, so the Chassam Sofer points out that Avraham Yitzchak, the gemach of Avraham Yitzchak, is a gemach of Te'ena, because the two of them fused together. They started the dynasty of Torah. The Gemara tells in the Avodah Zarah that the world lasts for 6,000 years. The first 2,000 years is Tohu. The next 2,000 years is Torah. And the final 2,000 years is Yemos Mashiach. And Avraham Avinu was born in 1948 from the creation of the world, not the 1948 of now, but of the creation of the world, 1948. And he recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the age of 52, according to some Midrashim, which puts you at 2,000, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was recognized by Avraham Avinu. And that's when the beginning of the 2,000 years of Torah began, because the way to be Mesake in the Te'ena was with Avraham and Yitzchak together. And the Yisachar points out that Te'ena, the Rosh Hashanah Te'ena, stands for Terach, Avram, Nachor, and Haran, who of course were all the parents of the Imahos, and Sarah, and Rivka, and Rachel, and Leah, came from that Te'ena. Let's start with Avraham Avinu. So all you have to do is just pluck out that okets. Just pluck out that Yetzirah. How does one do that? So Mikey already revealed about my past. I was a baseball fan. So sometimes we focus on what our challenge is, what the Yetzirah is. Whether that's our laziness, whether it's our anger, whether it's taivas. But the real way to attack the Yetzer Hara is not even to focus on the Yetzer Hara, but to look beyond the Yetzer Hara, to focus on the prize, to focus on the base medrash. We're taught when you're running to first base, you don't run to first base, but you run through first base, and you get there much quicker. You're not told to make contact with the ball, but you're told to swing through the ball will go much further and harder. So when you're trying to overcome that okay, that hurdle, so it's about focusing on the goal, ignoring the challenges, focus on where you want to get to. Wake up in the morning to go to the charusa, to go to the shir, to go to the base medrash. That focus in mind, you completely ignore the hurdles that way. But it requires mesiras nefesh. It's mesiras nefesh. Everyone has their challenge. Some people, it's mesiras nefesh to wake up in the morning to see 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Some people, it's mesiras nefesh to see 9 o'clock in the morning. But it requires some level of mesiras nefesh to wake up in the morning to learn. So I was at a Shalom Zachar Friday night, and someone shared with me that his son was having a difficult time because he couldn't go there to Eretz Yeshiva, but he's learning somewhere locally in Yeshiva. So the father said to him, listen, that's not so much mesiras nefesh. It's okay, you get to learn Yeshiva nonetheless. He said, you want to know what real mesiras nefesh is? He once went to Wyoming, and he was at a Chabad there. The Chabad runs around giving meat to all the non-from Jews there. And he told me that the closest mikveh to this Chabad in Wyoming is 9 hours away in both directions. That's 18 hours plus to get to the mikveh. That's mesiras nefesh, he said. Not going to a local yeshiva where you have warmth and everything that you need. So I finished off with the ma'isa I shared recently at Sam Schutz made a Shalom Zachar a couple months ago, but I think it's a worthwhile story to repeat about mesiras nefesh and Limud Torah. A ma'isa about the Ridbaz. Not the Radbaz, but the Ridbaz. The Ridbaz, he grew up somewhere in Europe, and the end of his life, he was in Tzfat. And he was older, and it was the yard site he had for his father. And so he went to take the Amud for the yard site. And it's time for the minyan, so the ready for him to start, and he's just bawling and bawling and bawling. He's not beginning Ashrei or Vaidaber. And so after a few moments, the Talmidim come up to the Ridbaz and say, Rebbe, is everything okay? You know today's the yard site of your father, but your father was nifter already a number of years ago. He died at an older age. It wasn't like a tragedy. So why suddenly now are you so overwhelmed with emotion? Sir Baz said he recalled the story when he was younger, a little boy. His parents spent a lot of money for him to have a private tutor to have his advanced learning. And it was very expensive each week. And then after a few weeks, his parents weren't able to pay the Rebbe. And the Rebbe sent a letter home that if you don't pay me back, I can't learn with your son anymore. I need to get paid. I'll find another job. And the Ridbaz, as a young boy, remembers his parents. They were crying. They didn't know what to do. How could they not have their precious son have a special Rebbe? So it was Mincha Maariv in Shul. And a Gvir came into the minyan. He made an announcement. He's building a house for his newly married daughter and son-in-law. And the Ridbaz's father was in the Gvir was looking for an oven. There was a big shortage of ovens in those days. The oven wasn't only used for cooking, but it was used also for heating the house up. And it was the winter when they were getting married, and he asked if anybody had an extra oven, because he couldn't find one to buy. He'll spend a lot of money. 8-10 ruble for an oven. So the Baz's father comes home to his wife. Next thing you know, they're busy digging out the oven from their own house to sell it to the Gvir for the 8 ruble. And they gave the 8 ruble to pay for what they owed and for the next 4 weeks to come. So their Baz's parents that winter, and it was a cold winter wherever they were in Europe, it was a cold winter, they sat and slept in a cold house without any heat, just so the little Ridbaz could learn with a special Rebbe. And so the Ridbaz says, that day he was going out for Mincha. It was a little chilly in Tzfas, the northern Eretz Israel. How cold could it get? And he says, maybe I'll just, daven in my house. I'll get a minute together here. Then he remembered what his parents did for him in the winter in Poland for months without an oven. And so he crossed over and went to the shul. And that's why he was crying. He was remembering the mesiras nefesh of Limud HaTorah. So our mesiras nefesh, most of us, is not to that level. But it requires some level of mesiras nefesh to get out, to learn in the mornings, the nights, the afternoons. In Mirat Hashem, we hope to have more shir, more opportunities. And come speak to me, Rabbi Rubinstein, Rabbi Ginsberg, Rabbi Weinberger, What can we do to help you learn more? So I'm going to be Mesayim now. Rav Weinberger is going to say the Kaddish. And then we'll have some music. There's not going to be dancing. I'll try not to. We'll fast song, slow songs. I don't know where Ishai went. He left, I guess. He's out there. But we don't want dancing. Someone told me a joke the other night that from Lakewood. So 20 years from now, they're going to tell the kids about Corona. They wear masks and, you know, social distancing. And then the kids are going to be like, well, no, what was it really like in the time of Corona? So they say, you know what? Chomer Pesach in 20 years? Let's go visit the five towns. They're still holding by Corona. So we're still holding by Corona. Different standards, different communities. We want to respect everyone who's here. So if there is fast music, whatever's on the playlist, let's try to stay in place just to honor those and respect those. And if it's slow music, we can sing together whatever they pick. So the last few lines of the Masechta of Shas Bavli's Tanit Bei Eliyahu called Shoni Halachos B'chol Yom Muftach Lo Shu Ben Olam Haba Shenema Halichos Olam Lo Al Tikri Halichos El Halachos Hadron Lach Tinokos V'Zikla Masechtas Nida Hadron Lach Masechtas Nida V'Masechtas Tamar Bavli V'Hadron Chalon Daitan Lach Masechtas Nida V'Tamar Bavli Daitan Chalon Lo Nisishem Menach Masechtas Nida V'Lo Tamar Bavli Lo Nisishem Menon Lo Ba'am Adain Lo Ba'am Adasi Hadron Lach Masechtas Nida V'Tamar Bavli V'Hadron Chalon Daitan Lach Masechtas Nida V'Tamar Bavli Daitan Chalon Lo Nisishem Menach Masechtas Nida V'Tamar Bavli Lo Nisishem Menon Lo Ba'am Adain Lo Ba'am Adasi Hadron Lach Masechtas Nida V'Tamar Bavli V'Hadron Chalon Daitan Lach Masechtas Nida V'Tamar Bavli Daitan Chalon Lo Nisishem Menach Masechtas Nida V'Tamar Bavli Lo Nisishem Menon Lo Ba'am Adain Lo Ba'am Adasi Yiratam V'Nach Adonai Elin V'Seinu Shetay Sarasko and Nasena Gol Mazab, who say hey Manu Long Haba, Hanina Bapapa, Rami Papa, Nachmer Papa, Achabar Papa, Abba, Mari Bapapa, Rafmer Papa, Rakshra Papa, Surah Bapapa, Adabar Papa, Dorba Papa, Harabna Dinal Hines to Base Rasko Bafino, who if he has Amkha base shell, be now Kulano and Akhim to say him to Samkha base shell, claim the Shemaka of Lamdesa Sahab, my boy by itself have many Mr. Sahab Kilam Hili, Hili Bissamim Kokaka Man Lai Gosh, Yolam Lashka Kudaka Kivam, his son in Berkata, the Nilam Dinu Kokaka, a main tell the Ed. Adima Nachmu Lufanaka Denelling of the Senum, Shesabda Kalkin of Yoshua base, a magic of Sabda Kalkin of Yoshua Kronos, Shana Mashmim, Himashmim, Animashmu, the Ray Server, Himashmu, the Ram Batalum, Anu Melum, Himamalum, Anu Melum, the Kamasaka, Himamalum, the Kamasaka, on the Rotum, Him Rotum, on the Rotum, and above, Him Rotum, the Vashaka, Shenemar, Vatel, and Tardim, the Vashaka, Anjadamim, Umima, Lo Yaxi, Him, Dani, Afakba, Hiratum, Fanaka, Adenial Haikishim, Shatan, the Simon Sakh, Nita, the Tabla Babli, Kain Tazin, the Haskam, Masaka, Suswam, Hem, Simon, Lomod, Ulam, Lishma, last of the time, Spotter, and Matosaka. Who's the first part of the Ramah, the Sabi, the Kaham Yamal, the Zari, Yamash, the Thorbi P, Pizari, Zari, Adolam, Siskan, this Alaka, Tanka Ozak, the Shakba, Tishma Alaka, the Kitaz, Hisizaka, Sisiha, Kivi, Yerbu, Yamaha, the Yosin, the Koshmas time, Orahim, Ibimina, the small Oshi, the Kabara, the Nai, the Maritana, the Nai, the Rechasama, Shalom.